I will be reading from Acts 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because of their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn these responsibilities over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word."
Good morning.
Good morning.
It must be a holiday. Everybody's gone today. But for those of you who are visiting, we're certainly proud that you're with us and want to invite you back at any opportunity that you have to be with us. And it is the Memorial Day weekend. I want to ask a question for all of us to think about and even answer for our young people. Y'all got big plans for this weekend? Maybe today and tomorrow? You don't have big plans, Esme? We'll hopefully have time with family, right? Are you having a good day today? Y'all are the deadest bunch this morning I have ever seen in my life. I hope you're having a great day. I'm just thinking, we got a new dad this morning, Ryan. Congratulations. And Ralph and O are grandparents again. And we've got a young lady who's a big sister for the first time. And so that's wonderful. We got a wedding coming up tomorrow, which will be a wonderful thing. And we're excited about that. And I share those things. And today, I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to try to eat a big dinner here in a few minutes, which will be fun, and spend time with family. But, you know, we are blessed with the opportunity to kind of do what we want to do, right? Within some reason. For those of us who are married, I understand it's a little different, but let's... And with the prosperity to do lots of things. And, you know, I hope you enjoy tomorrow. Many of us, maybe most of us, will be off work tomorrow. And you may go to the lake or work in the yard or spend time with family, which are great things. But I want us to take for a moment today and tomorrow to pause a moment and be thankful for those folks who have given their lives that you and I can have a good day, where we can be free, where we can have prosperity, where our property is ours and our money is ours. And there's a spiritual, but you understand what I'm saying from a political standpoint, that we have freedom and opportunity and prosperity because lots of folks have given a lot. Not only have people given their lives, but I think about those families whose loved ones didn't come home. Those wives, those husbands, those mothers, those fathers, those children, whose loved ones didn't come home for us to enjoy the day. And it is a solemn time. And so I don't want this just to be a day off, but let's remember the significance of this day off, that people have been willing to die for our freedom and for our ideals. And, you know, it encourages me to be a better citizen. That's the least I can do, is to be a good citizen. You know, people have been willing to die. So the least I can do is to be a good citizen and to appreciate the freedoms and to share with others. That's what God would have us do. But those are the ideals of our country, aren't they? To respect others and their viewpoints. Those are important things. And so tomorrow's Memorial Day. It's not just another day off, but it is a time where we remember the sacrifices of others on our behalf. And I'm thankful for that, and I know you are too. But let's remember that this weekend as we enjoy family and activities, but be thankful that somebody's paid a price. And as we enjoy this time together, there are individuals who are serving today, and I hope they all come home safely. My prayer is they all come home safely. But they're missing the opportunity to be with family today and tomorrow. Maybe they're missing special events. Some of them will even have young children at home. And we know how much they change almost every day. And to be away, I think about the greatness of that sacrifice as well, and want to be respectful and mindful of that. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Dear Father, You have blessed us so very much. We know that You are the sources of our freedom and our blessings. In fact, the very constitution of this nation argues that, or very declaration argues that You are the source of our freedoms, that You are the source of our rights. Father, we're thankful for this nation, and may we always live, first of all, as citizens of the kingdom, but also as citizens of this nation, contributing, not taking advantage of opportunities in an inappropriate way, but using those opportunities to be of service to our community, to make it a better place, caring for others, caring for those who are in need, using our talents to the very best that we might help others, that we might further Your kingdom. Father, I pray for those who have given their lives in the service and protection and defense of our nation and our purposes and our ideals. Father, bless those families whose loved ones did not come home. I pray for comfort and peace on them. Father, for those who are serving today, watch over them and protect them. For those families that are separated from their loved ones, Father, bless them as well. And Father, help us to live out those ideas of freedom and responsibility and the rights of others in our everyday lives as well. Father, for the freedom to worship You, what a great privilege that is. Father, help us to never neglect that, but to live our service to You every day of our lives. Father, bless our nation. Father, as Your people, may we be a source of light and salt in this community, in our culture, Father, because we know that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Father, help us to walk in Your ways, to share Your truths with others. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. Time flies. Y'all know that, don't you? Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of June. June. I can't believe it. And that is our Friends and Family Day. Next Sunday is our Friends and Family Day. So I hope you're planning on being here. And I hope you're inviting friends and family. And as you look around, we got lots of our family here that aren't here today. So we need to make sure that we Facebook them or email them or call them or talk to them and say, hey, remember, next week is Friends and Family Day. And invite our friends, our neighbors, to come and be a part of our assembly. I want us to invite our family and invite our families that may attend other congregations to come and be with us. That's a special time. But if you've got a neighbor or a friend or a family member that's not involved in church, boy, what a great time to invite them to come and be with us. Taft Ayers, who was here a year or so ago, will be back next Sunday to speak to us. And he did an outstanding job the first time, so we're excited about that. You won't have to listen to me. Hey, hey! So invite your friends and neighbors. You know, we were discussing one time, for those of you who remember our dear friend Doug Perry, we were talking about who was going to be the speaker for Friends and Family Day. And he said, I want Teb to speak. He said, I want my friends and family to know what I suffer through every week. So you won't have to suffer through that next week. And we'll have a fellowship meal after our morning assembly. So we'll need to prepare for that. That's a meal that we bring in. I'm sure there'll probably be some chicken tenders and those things that we'll bring in, but bring food and dessert for that. And then we won't have an evening assembly next week, but we'll have our morning class, our morning assembly, and then fellowship meal over in the fellowship hall next Sunday. So I do hope that you plan on coming, and again, send that out. Invite folks specifically to come and be a part of that. And then all of us, let's certainly be open and friendly to our visitors who come and make them feel welcome and make sure they know that they're welcome to be back with us at every opportunity that they may have. We're going to talk from the passage that Trey read for us this morning. And this is, as you may recognize, consider the first time that deacons are appointed in the church. And we've spent some time on that as we appointed deacons and elders now a few years ago. Seems like just the other day, but that time has passed. But I want to make a point or two quickly about this passage. And one of those is, it's interesting that there is a little conflict that begins in the church, right? Between the Jewish Christians who have a Jewish background and those who have a Greek background or a foreign background. And that's always a little bit of a rub, isn't it? And stays a little bit of a rub all the way through the writing of the New Testament. Through all of the first century, that's kind of an issue. How do we deal with the differences between culture and background? And you remember, we're going to have a conference in Jerusalem. We're going to have a conflict between Peter and Paul about this issue. And the church is going to come to conclusion, especially as we bring in Christians from all over the world, how we deal with the law versus the New Testament, really the law of Christ, if you will, for lack of a better term. And they're able to work that out. And we'll get to that later in the book of Acts. So stay with us as we talk about that. But we've got between the Hebrew widows and the Grecian widows, the Greek widows, the Greek widows, their family, those individuals, probably not so much family, but those individuals are saying they're not getting taken care of as well in the distribution of food. I don't know whether it's real or imagined. I mean, the scripture really doesn't tell us. And it may have been, whether it was intentional or unintentional. And the reason I share that with you is, it would be wonderful if when we become Christians, that all of our prejudices, all of our problems, all of our hang-ups, all of our weaknesses would just be done away with. And we come out of the waters of baptism perfect. I mean, that would be a wonderful thing. And it's a real struggle that the world has, and Satan certainly uses it against us, because what's the conversation? Because we're not perfect. They're just hypocrites in the church, right? I don't hear that like I heard it 30 years ago. Do you? It's just not as common. If it's common, I'm not hearing it. But you know, you used to hear that quite often. Well, we are imperfect. Is that an excuse for us not to be doing our best to be what God calls us to be? It's not. We must attain to holiness. We must strive for that. But the fact of the matter is, we still have struggles. And if we're not aware of those, we can't deal with them. Okay? If you're not aware of those, and all of us come to every situation with our background. I mean, we look at things through the focal point of our background. Even the way we read things in the Scripture. And this was one of the most enlightening, and I'm fortunate in a couple of weeks, Carrie and the girls and I are going to get to go back to the Holy Land. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. But I remember the first time we went years ago, and we went into a shop. And I had never understood about Abraham buying the field of Machpelah. Okay? And you read that, you know, he's talking about the price, and they're just, oh no, you know, we're brothers, blah, blah, blah. So I go into this shop with David Young, and this guy is there, and so we start talking to him about items. And so, you know, here's a price listed. So you ask, well, you know, would you take this? And oh, what's money between brothers? What's money between brothers? Now, if I said that in our culture, you would say, oh, money doesn't matter. I just want to help you out. Just take it, right? Uh-uh. It was, we're not going to discuss the price. Why would you talk me down? We're brothers, right? What's money between? I mean, there was no answer. There was no haggling. It was just, what's money between brothers? Well, all of a sudden, I read that passage completely different. They ain't helping a brother. They're saying, this is it. Take it or leave it, right? But I come to the passage with my experience, right? From the South, which is different. We're going to haggle. It's just part of it. You know, but if we say, you know, we truly mean I want to help you. I learned something totally different. I have never forgotten that. And, you know, the conversation, well, oh, yes, if we have a wreck, everybody starts saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. But at the end of the day, they'll sue you, you know. It's just a difference in culture. But we bring that when we look at everything and our feeling about people. And so we have to work constantly, constantly to be like Jesus in the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount about praying for enemies and turning the other cheek and all of those things, right? We just have to work on that because even subconsciously, we have the struggle. So what's happening here? I'm not sure whether it's just a subconscious thing. I'm not sure whether it was an intentional thing or whether just when they got to doing things. And that's what I kind of want to talk about today. One point is I want us to make sure that we're always aware of our own weaknesses and that we work to overcome them. All right, that we be honest with ourselves. Both ways. Because sometimes we can be unfair to those folks that we're closest to in taking care of others, right? So we got to be honest and be fair about this. But what's happening in the church and what happens in every church, in every organization, the organization is growing. The church is growing. I hate to use organization, but it's a fact. It's growing. And what happens? Everybody's job is nobody's job. Right? Nobody feels the responsibility. So as this work was getting done and the number of people in need was growing, it had just outgrown the organization. It had outgrown the apostles being able to do it themselves. And nobody else felt the responsibility to do it. So it just wasn't getting done as effectively as it should have been done. Because that's exactly how the apostles deal with it, right? They don't deal with, oh, everything's fine. They deal with, we need to deal with this in a better way. And that's true in the church. That's what deacons are about. That's what our service is about. There's times that you need to take responsibility for things and make sure that they happen. Somebody has to be in charge. I'm going to kind of come back to that, but I'm going to go to a point here. And the apostles, they're not dumping it on somebody, but what's their point? Well, we go back to a prejudice that I kind of grew up with. And maybe it's true for you. And I bet you remember this. I don't want to be offensive to anybody. But those who can do what? They do, right? Those who can't. And those who can't teach. Teach others to teach. All right. Y'all don't. We're not in such a political correctness that you can't smile at that. Now, is there truth? But that's. And there are folks who will. I mean, I grew up in a culture where if we honor people who get their hands dirty in work, right? And those folks who get their hands dirty in work, for those folks who read and study and research, they're kind of different. And we might even think they're a little bit lazy, right? Dare we say, dare we? Dare we say it. And I grew up with that. And so it's like you got to be doing something. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes the hardest work is reading and studying and researching, isn't it? Getting prepared to teach others. That's difficult work and it's important. We need scholars among us. We need those who teach and those who research and those who study new things and new ideas. It's important. But kind of in the culture, I mean, it goes all the way back to our heroes. You know, you never caught John Wayne studying, right? You didn't. But the apostles understood that while taking care of these widows was extremely important. And it was, wasn't it? And they knew it was, because remember when they talk about the Gentile Christians and they deal with Paul, the first thing they want to say, care for the poor. Care for those who are in need. That's what, don't ever forsake that. I mean, we, you know, not only is doctrine important, but make sure you're caring for those who are in need. James says caring for widows and orphans in their affliction is part of a religion that God accepts. It was extremely important, but the apostles said, our role is to be about prayer and teaching and preaching of the gospel, which is important. And so we're going to allow other people to take the responsibilities for these other jobs that also are important, but our calling is to do this teaching. And sometimes it's hard to pull back and do that, isn't it? For many of us. It's hard, and that is a place of honor, something that's important to be done. And they were filled with the Spirit. They were gifted. That was their calling, to be about preaching and teaching. Did those widows need to be cared for fairly? Absolutely. And they wanted that done. But they said, if we spend our time doing that, then these things aren't going to get done. And they are vitally important as well. Paul does a great job of saying all of us are different parts of the body, right? We have different purposes and different calls of service. Is one greater than the other? Not necessarily. It's just what needs to be done. So what did they do? They went to the people and they said, you find 7 folks among you that are full of the Spirit, that are known to be honest and upright, people of integrity, people full of the Spirit, that people will trust and know, that will do a good job, that people will accept, and appoint them. And so they do, and the apostles approve them. And those 7, then that becomes their responsibility to make sure that these widows, both Hebraic and Grecian, Greek and Hebrew, are cared for. That's their job. That's their role. That's their responsibility. Somebody had to take the responsibility, right? And so they appointed those deacons and said, that's your role. That's your job to deke, to serve. And that helped the people. It made sure people got cared for. And it brought about the organization. And that's the biblical pattern. Take that job and do it. Because we're going to be about teaching and preaching. Because all of us have different roles. And the apostle said, if we take our time to do that, then we won't be about the other things that are important for us. So all of us need to look and say, and don't be jealous that I can't do one job or another. It's take the opportunity that God gives me, the talent that God gives me, and this place and this time, and do it well, right? That used to just be common sense. Do the job you get and do it well. You know, I love raising children most of the time. But when we're children, what do we always want to do? The next job up, whatever that is, right? When we're little, we want to mow the yard. I wish I could mow the yard. And then what happens when you get big enough to mow the yard? You don't want to mow the yard. That's too much work. Or what, you know, and where we see it working cattle. You know, as the kids work cattle, they'll just start off by putting a pole behind the cattle as they move up this long line. You know, put the pole behind them so they won't back up. That's kind of the job you start out on. And then you kind of move. Well, you know, when you're really little, you want to move those poles bad. But once you kind of get that down, it doesn't take but about a half a day. You got that. You want to move up and do something else. And you're not watching your pole. Right? Because you're looking, wanting to get in somebody else's way, doing their. Eventually, you're going to move up. But what's important? Do the job you're assigned to do and do it well. And then as we prove ourselves, it's really the biblical pattern. He who is faithful over a few things, what? Will have the responsibility to do more. Wherever we are, do the best job that you can do, because all of them are vitally important. And so find our place of service and do it. And so that's what happens in the first day. They get, we're going to do will be about teaching. Can everybody be a teacher? Everybody be a preacher? No, it's not the gift we all have. But some of us have great gifts of administration, which is a wonderful gift, because some people say, well, that's not really a gift. It is, because if you work with folks who don't have it, not that they're not good people, but they just don't get it. That's not their gift. They don't work well with people. They don't solve problems well. Do they have other talents? Absolutely. It's always been, you know, as I grew up in business, always training. Very often, it's not the right thing to take your best salesman and make them the sales manager, because they may not be a good manager. And if they're out there doing a great job selling, you know, let them sell. because administration may bind them. They like to be doing whatever it is that they're doing. So find our place. And the church, we need to know each other in such a way that we recognize each other's talents and we help each other with our talents, right? And do a great job where you are. That's what they did. That's how they solved that problem, and it was an issue. And there's another thing. Are there going to come up issues as we meet together? Yes. The answer to that is yes, and you need to know that. Because you're going to get greatly, greatly disillusioned with the church if you think, I come to church, everybody should be perfect, everybody should be great, and we're all going to get along perfectly. We're all going to treat each other exactly equally. We're all going to love each other the same. Everything's going to just work out great. That's not true, is it? Carl and Karen are getting married tomorrow. We're excited for them. But I always tell the newlyweds getting married, you're not going to have a perfect marriage. And the reason for that is neither one of you are perfect. Hope you have a blessed, great marriage. And the reason I say that is not to knock a hole in them, but if you think your marriage is going to be perfect, what's going to happen? You're going to get disillusioned. And if you think everybody else has a perfect marriage, John Conley sang the song, the girl down the street says her husband is neat and makes it sound so true. You know, just as human beings, our relationships with each other are not perfect because we're imperfect. And it's the same is true in the church. And the reason I share that with us is, what do? We love each other and we work through it, right? Because if I don't recognize that, then the question is, what's wrong with me? Or what's wrong with all of you? Which is probably the question I'm going to ask. Because I'm pretty sure it's not me. And we get disillusioned, and what happens to us? We leave. We quit. We get our feelings hurt. But when we realize it is a relationship that we have to work through, and it's important for our shepherds and for all of us work together to solve whatever problems might arise. And to realize that all of us, while I hope we all love each other, we're going to be closer to some than we are to others. That's just the way life is. But we all respect each other and we love each other. So they appoint these seven and they're going to deal with this. And so let's take our job. Let's do it. Let's do it well. Let's know what our role is and let's fill that role. Okay? Let's find our place. And let's fill, and it's not everybody's job to do everything. It's not everybody's job to do everything. That's a tough one too, isn't it? I want to feel like I'm talented at everything. I know I'm not. But you want to, you know, if somebody can say, that's somebody else's job. And I'm going to let them do it and I'm going to support them. I'm not dumping it on them. I'm just saying that's their job and let them do it. Let them do it their way, right? And be supportive. That's important. That's important. And it's also important for us to realize that there does has to be, somebody has to be responsible. Somebody has to be responsible to make things flow and make them work well. It's somebody's role to do that. And so, and here's something that's important. I'm going to kind of close with this because I know you get the point. So I want us to find our place. That's important. Find our place and do it well. But these folks, these men who were called to serve, they were to be men of integrity, full of the Spirit and men of integrity. It just stands out, doesn't it, when people have integrity. When people have integrity. We almost live in a culture that teaches us to bob and weave. You know, we learn the art of bobbing and weaving. But God calls us to be people of integrity who stand on what? On the truth. Not just hard-headed. You can be hard-headed and just wrong. But to be committed to the truths of God, to know them, and not only to know them intellectually, but to live them. To be people of honesty and fairness and trust. It's what God calls us to. To be people of integrity wherever we are. Don't you love those people that you know what you're getting? Wherever they are. Doesn't matter what crowd they're in. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. You know what you're going to get. You know, there are those people in our lives people that maybe we work with and different things, that you know once they commit to something, that they're there. I don't care what the pressure is. I don't care which way the wind blows. They're never going to cut. They're never going to put you out on a limb and cut it off behind you. They're going to be with you. They're people of integrity. God calls us to be people of faith and people of integrity so that we can serve. I think about Daniel. This young man who's carried off into captivity. And he is such a man of integrity that even his enemies can't find anything to accuse him of. Isn't that amazing? Even in service to a pagan government, an oppressive government, he is such a man of integrity and ability that even his enemies, they had to make up something. The only thing they can get him on is he's going to pray to God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be a person of such integrity that the only thing folks can get against you is you're going to pray to God? That's how Daniel was, and that's what God calls us to. All of us have a role in service of the kingdom. All of us have a place, and we need to prepare for that. And whatever role we're serving today, do the best job you can do. If you're Sunday school teaching, be the best Sunday school teacher you can be. If you're cleaning up after the fellowship meal, do the best job of cleaning up you can do. If you're baking a pie, do the best job you can do. Do the best job you can do. Making banana pudding, do the best job that you can do. We laugh at it, but do the best that you can do. If you're overseeing a ministry, do the best job you can do. As our shepherds are doing, if you're shepherding the flock, do the best job you can do. Whatever we do, do the best that we can in service to God. Because that's what God calls us to do. And each of us then plays our role, and the whole body can function. We started, it's Memorial Day weekend. And we're thankful for those who have given their lives for us, for our nation. Just a moment, we're going to gather around this table, as we do every Sunday. And we're going to memorialize God Himself, God the Son, who took on flesh, who did not think equality with God something to be held on to, but emptied Himself and became a man and gave His life, shed His blood willfully and brutally, that you and I might have redemption, that we might have forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. Jesus gave His life as a sacrifice for us. We need to live our lives in honor and respect to Him. We need to be the greatest citizens of the kingdom we can be. Because God gave His life, and what less can we give than to give ours? And I'm not talking about just being willing to die, but I'm talking about every day sacrificing our desires and our will to the will of God. If you're a Christian today, and maybe you have a special prayer request, you want to rededicate yourself, you have a sin that you need to confess and have our shepherds pray for you and have this congregation pray with you, we'd encourage you to come. If you're not a Christian today and you're ready to publicly confess Jesus, to make that change of life, of repentance, and be washed in the blood of Jesus, we'd encourage you to come. What better time is there than right now? Give our lives wholly to Jesus. Won't you come while we stand and sing?